Artlist.io. Every single day I feel the pressure. Double up the work, let's make it extra. Working so my mother get a rest, yeah. Working like I never know I'm best, yeah. Every single day I feel the pressure. Yo, what's happening? It's your boy C-Rock back in That One Studio on the What Are You Made Of show. We're back rocking and rolling with another great guest, man. We're going to find out what my man Solomon Timothy, is it Timothy or Timothy?
It's Timothy.
Timothy, where did that H come from? Is that a silent H? Is that spelled right?
That is a silent H. My parents did that to confuse everybody.
Okay. Darn them. No, Solomon Timothy is in the building. He's a highly accomplished entrepreneur with over 17 years of experience in marketing and sales. As the co-founder and CEO of OneIMS, a leading inbound marketing and sales agency, as well as ClickX, he has helped businesses double their revenue using the 10X framework. Solomon is also an expert in lead generation and customer acquisition, as well as a USA Today and Wall Street Journal bestselling author. In addition to his work, he is also an angel investor and startup advisor. He's helped numerous startups grow and scale, leveraging his expertise in marketing, sales, and business strategy. Solomon, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark. I love it. This, like I said, I listened to your podcast and the guests that you've had before and the impact you've had on me. So this is awesome to be here.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Gratitude your way too, man. I appreciate people's time when they spend here to share the ingredients that have gone into making them who they are, because we believe the journey to success is invisible until we show it here. And we want to make sure that people understand as they go on a journey that they're not the only ones that have setbacks or tough times or uncertainty or sleepless nights. I can go on and on and on, right? So let's start with the question. First of all, Solomon, what are you made of?
I would have to say, if I could summarize what I'm made of in one word, that would be grit.
Yeah. Okay. So that came from going through something or some things. Let's elaborate on the grit word.
Yeah. And I think every entrepreneur needs to have this. It's one of those words we don't really talk about. Maybe we talk about perseverance. We talk about, you know, got to try, fail, keep going. And I think if you look at it, sometimes entrepreneurism is much more difficult than people see. I mean, yes, I make it easy for people. I show them what they need to do, and so do you. But for the most part, if you don't have that mindset that you're going to make it, you're going to give up. Because it's so much easier to have a job. To just, you know, climb that corporate ladder if you compare it to doing what you're doing, doing any of the entrepreneurs that come here. Yet, we don't stop. Does that make sense? And I use like old school caveman mentality. If we don't kill, we don't eat. It's like, That's what it was. That was entrepreneurism, like, I don't know how many years ago. But today, it's the same thing, but we do that on social. We do that on ads, or we're making websites or funnels or whatever you and I have to do to generate sales. It's the same exact thing that caveman had to do.
Yeah, I love it. And you know what? Like, when I'm reading this, I just looked up the definition of grit, because I like to look up definitions, even if I think I know the word. And it says courage and resolve, strength of character. In psychology, grit is a positive non-cognitive trait based on a person's perseverance of effort combined with their passion for a particular long-term goal or end state. So here's the thing. Everybody wants grit. And what I've also found with entrepreneurship, Solomon, I'd love to hear your take on this. I really believe that it's not necessarily easier to have a job in the long run.
Sure.
It's the first part of it because of the word momentum.
Agreed. It's about easy. Lots of people want it easy. And I'm saying it's easier because your employer already figured out everything for you.
Yeah.
As an entrepreneur, they didn't give you the blueprint. You don't graduate with here's step by step on how to build a $100 million business. And even if they did, it wouldn't work, right? It only works with one industry or five industries. What you're doing, what we're doing, no one's ever done before, or there's been a $100 million influencer marketing company. Does that make sense? Like, these are not blueprint ready businesses. These are not like McDonald's franchise.
Right.
These aren't replicatable systems that we're building. So, and most of our clients fall into that category. They're doing something new because there has never been a business like the one that they're doing, because they're a niche within a niche. And either high ticket, low ticket, or SaaS, or something different, subscription model, or something along those lines, and they're trying to grow. So there's always so much difficulty that they deal with that, you know, like you said, the uncertainty and the things that you were talking about, that if you don't have grit, you can't make it.
Yeah, I agree, man. And it gets so much easier if you just get through that first stretch, the momentum part, get building the momentum. And that's what you know, a lot of the business has done that people go to work for, is they got that big first part out of the way. Yeah, right. I love it. All right, so where did it all start for you? I want to know your story, man. And then we're going to get into what you're doing now. And yeah, then we're going to explore collaboration from there.
So I started building websites for businesses very early on. So it's like maybe 20 years now. And that was easy to do for me. But at the time, it's kind of like AI for businesses. Like, they don't know what to do with AI. It's the same exact thing I was dealing with. Like, they didn't know what to do. They didn't even have a domain name. They didn't have corporate emails. I mean, I see people with Gmails today. I'm like, hey, come on. I did that 20 years ago for people. Like, info@yourcompany.com should be like a no-brainer.
Stop right there for a second. Isn't that amazing how many people are still on Gmail or Yahoo with their business? I mean, personal, I understand personal, right? But
I understand.
Like, I can't even, like, dude, I can't even wrap my head around that.
Right. And also, I'll just add to that, because we help businesses grow. So one of the things that we help them do is inbound, which is get business, you know, inbound leads coming to you, and we do outbound. And if we see an email address that is any of the free domain names, we don't prospect them. I don't know what that says. Like, I'll let the listener decide that.
So we're like, Yahoo, hey, I don't even Gmail, and what else?
No, none of them. Microsoft, Global, Comcast, okay, anything any that is Comcast. Like ISP. And these are emails that on their website that they put for people to contact them. If it doesn't match the domain name to email, we skip our system. Skip. Why? Because we don't think they're ready for what we do.
Yeah.
One. Two. I think they need more help in IT than they need in what we do. It's like, all of those things are wrong signals. They could be a big company, but if they haven't even figured out their IT, they could be bigger, in our opinion.
Yeah.
20 years ago, I was building websites, buying people domain names and helping them with all of that. This is like super early, and not a lot of people even remember this, but like e-commerce, like there wasn't Shopify wasn't even a big thing. So we were building like these custom built e-commerce sites and things like this. Like, you know, you had to be like, I could code for Facebook, you know, compared to what I was doing there, because it was complicated.
Yeah.
SSL certificates and all this stuff. I was like, wow, like nobody even talked about these things. Today, the world is SSL, right? You can't even launch a website if you don't have, you know, security. But long story short, and we realized that we were in the business of selling websites, but not knowing that we're in the business of customer acquisition. We are in the business of helping somebody get top line dollars, just as you do for, you know, the business that you're in. If we don't do that, we don't have a business. But I thought I had a great business. Look at me. I'm like the coder dude. I can totally code up anything. I'm so good. And our team, you know, designers and developers, they always like had the biggest head, because they're like, oh, we're so skilled. Because at the time that was super sought after skill. People paid us a lot of money. But we started to ask these small businesses, what impact did this have on their business? They said no impact, because nobody knows I have a website. Nobody goes to my website. Nobody called me from my website. We're like, oh man, this is not good. We need to change it up. And that's when we start to say, look, what do we do to help our customers actually 10x the revenue? If they paid me $1,000, I need to get them $10,000 in sales. And if I did that, they will never fire me. You know, this is like a basic concept. If you're in professional services, if you're accountant, I don't know, whatever you do, right? You could be a creative person, you're an influencer marketer. You got to figure out, how do I help move the needle for my customer? And then we start to hone in on only those things that matter. And website looking pretty or being in the best, you know, JavaScript, CSS, whatever it is, it didn't really matter. What mattered is that I was running ads on Google, getting them leads, and made their phone ring, because even today, phone is really important. But back then, that was the only way of communication. Yeah. We weren't communicating on email. So we had an entire pivot in our business. We shifted towards customer acquisition. Obviously, we say lead generation, customer acquisition, because you can't have a customer if you don't have leads. That's one of the constraints you got to get past. So once we fixed that, we started to figure out, like, hey, this is momentum for our business.
Yeah, man. And you know, email marketing, right? It's not that old when you think about it, right? However, it's getting to a situation where we got to start adapting And I have several questions on this with, you know, for you.
Sure.
But number one is with email marketing, is it still effective the old way with sales copy and what have you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm happy to answer. So email, tentatively, you know, this is a research I didn't do, $41 or $42 for every dollar spent on email. What they don't tell you is you got to have a really, really high quality list that wasn't, that's basically you and I, we ran ads or they subscribe to our podcast and you give them an offer to download something or have a free account on your app or get something for free. And then they opted in and then they really like what we do. They're basically a warm list. If you emailed a warm list, not cold list, even though they opted in at some point, 6 months later, they're technically cold because they don't remember you. They're not up to date on the latest podcast that you did. They're not watching the latest reels that you're making, right, Mike? So if we can keep that email list as warm as possible, and I can give some tips onto that, then yes, you will get $41. You're probably going to get $60 because it just really depends on what you're selling, right? What is that offer? Mm-hmm. Is it $997 or is it $10,000? So the challenge is how do we keep these emails really, really warm? And most people, they do exactly what I'm about to share. They have 4,000 or 6,000 people on their list. They just send everybody one message.
Yeah. Just throw it out there, the easiest thing.
With C-Rock, check it out. You know, like that would be the wrong thing to do. The right thing to do would be, hey, first of all, I would in my efforts, what we do is when they fill out a form, we ask like two questions. Are you starting up? Are you a mid-sized company? Are you an enterprise? And so like, we're just asking them, are you a solopreneur or are you under $5 million? Are you $10 million? When you have context, you wouldn't send everybody the same message unless it is like, I don't know, happy holidays or something, right? Like you're just, you're sending everybody something. That's different. But if I'm actually trying to use email, like you said, as a proven channel to deliver ROI, my top line, bottom line, I got to do a better job. And if you don't have that information, what you need to do is send an email saying, hey, we're working on some amazing program. I mean, obviously give some context, but it is not you're not qualified to work on it unless we have a little bit more information about you. Can you please fill out these 3, 4, 5 information for me? Then ask for, are you a solopreneur? Are you this revenue? And now you can get to better segment the list. This is like the easiest way to make $41.
And then tag them in your CRM.
Tag them in the CRM, or your CRM is smart enough that you can just filter it based on what people answered. Does that make sense? So it's just
But at the end of the day, it's a tag. They're getting filtered into buckets.
Exactly. Yeah. And then I now need to create a very specific training or resource to my enterprise customer, or maybe that's a one-on-one call versus some kind of a live training for the mid-sized company, and then the startup is automated webinar or something like that, right? Like they may not even purchase, but you want to still nurture them. But imagine doing that across all 3 segments. If we just did 3 segments. Do you see how people would either unsubscribe or tune you off or eventually not open the email because it's not relevant? And then Gmail automatically hides it from inbox to promotions or whatever else. We basically lost that lead. It's not coming back. It doesn't matter what you do. Gmail's AI that basically is just like Instagram. How you behave is how your inbox is going to behave. If you don't open somebody's email, it's automatically start going into promotions and eventually end up in spam. Because it's just not relevant to you.
Yeah. No, it's 100%. And then now let me ask you this. How are you evolving and staying ahead of the trends? I just had a call the other day with a guy. I forget the name of the company. I'm not going to promote it anyway. But they're basically creating lists and then letting AI handle it, right? I know you're familiar with this, right? Like AI is going in now. It's creating the emails. It's communicating with the customers and then driving them to a call with you. Like, how AI, are you involved with that?
Right. So we have tools to get the email address. If I wanted to prospect companies that are doing $10 million and they're in manufacturing and they're selling this product, there's tons of companies that have this data. Basically, they have it from LinkedIn because LinkedIn's pretty up to date. They use that data to then prospect. And what we're doing with AI is much more of personalizing what our company does or what my client's company does and what does the company that we're prospecting to. And we write these icebreakers, if I may, that actually gets them to respond or open or so on. So the reason why we do that is because 70% of email technically is boilerplate. It's kind of like, hey, I don't know if you have this challenge, but you don't want to go straight to that and say, hi, Mike, I'm wondering, do you struggle with recruiting, you know, C-level quality people? And like, no, I don't. I'm not even looking. But I might have to say something like, hey, I see that you're growing so fast. I see your headcount has grown 700% or 10%, 30%. I'm curious, you know, what are your goals for the next 12 months? What kind of roles are you trying to hire? So we use AI to come up with that by using real world data of that business, which a human being cannot do it that fast. And that tends to get better response. But AI is not writing the whole email. There's no real need, because like I said, I still want to say what I want to say, and AI will probably change it up
too much
in all the iterations.
But it's learning, right? What do you see as the evolution of it? And obviously it's moving faster than the internet, evolved. But where do you see AI going into what we're doing?
Following up, it would probably be better to use AI, because like I said, the follow-up email could be extremely personalized, but that intro email, I think this icebreaker is what we're doing. But we also are using AI for deciding a AI-based subject line. So we A-B test. Our email has ours, 50%, whatever we think it should make sense, mm-hmm. and completely custom-made AI. It makes it on the fly and sends out the email. And I know it sounds scary, but they do a really good job because they know so much about the business that we're emailing.
Right, right. Yeah, that makes sense, man. All right, so the difference between the two companies. We have ClickX and then we have 1IMS. Okay, what are these two companies and what do they do?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Thanks for asking. So first of all, 1IMS is the baby that I just mentioned to you, building websites, and we morphed from being a freelancer to a business to now we're doing, you know, enterprise companies, if that makes sense. Anybody mm-hmm. that is struggling to scale and they have the systems, they have the team, but they just can't see meaningful results, whether it's ads, or content marketing, which is like huge for these big businesses because their customer lifetime value is really high. We solve customer acquisition for these businesses. The second business is basically me invested a lot of money into building a backend tool for our own business to grow. I realized that we are actually in the software business and not in the service business, because if I'm trying to scale a service business, it can only scale so much. Mm-hmm. Literally. And I want my employees to feel like, hey, my job could be technically done at 5 and they don't have to take work home and work really hard. I mean, people hear agency life could mean really scary or okay, right? So we built a lot of technology, like our own project management, our own lead generation tool, and a lot of things to help our business and including like doing the fulfillment. And agencies reached out to us and then I'm like, hey man, I think there might be a business here. Just take our tools. We said, you can have it for $100 a month or $200 a month or whatever it is, because it was just too much tech for us. As you mm-hmm. can tell, like we are into the tech thing a lot. Yeah. So we just invested a lot of money. I mean, you're talking millions of dollars. And we're like, either we just sit on it and then, you know, kind of like Amazon did with AWS, right? Like they built it for them. Like they knew that they need this infrastructure, but AWS does better margins than Amazon. Why? Because the infrastructure is really powerful, really useful. So we said, hey, we could take this. And obviously, we started to ask our agency partners, like, where are you struggling? Where do you need help? And we started to do all these things that we're just talking about, AI and prospecting and data, leads and sales and fulfillment. We just kept adding to it. Why? Because we're very passionate about solving for the customer. So to us, it doesn't really matter if I'm working with an agency to deliver the result or we're directly working with a customer. But at the end of the day, like you said, we're learning firsthand the challenges so we can fix it, empower anybody in marketing to do a better job. Some people are struggling because they don't have a Facebook person to scale their ads. Some people are struggling because they don't have leads. It's one of the constraints I mentioned earlier. I don't want them struggling because they have a constraint. They should not have constraints, because if you really want to scale, get rid of all these constraints.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not easy as we say it, right? So that's what the business is.
Well, one of the things I've experienced in business and also been taught ahead of time, but sometimes when you're taught ahead of time and you don't experience it, it doesn't register until you go through it. And then you're like, oh, that's what they were talking about. Businesses break at certain points.
I agree.
Right? We get the marketing finally working and we get leads coming in. And then we're like, oh man, we got to fulfill these. And then the fulfillment, sometimes you can't keep up or something breaks with no system or process on it. So then you create a system or process for it. Are you guys getting involved with that part as well, like with project management and systems and processes and SOPs?
Yes, we do. So we have to do that sometimes firsthand for our customers. That's what I was mentioning earlier. Like a CRM is smart enough when you send out an email, when they click on a link and you ask them three pieces of information, we just saved it into that record. So we're not tagging or doing something different. Does that make sense? We're not keeping two databases. Yeah. It just knows. Yeah. You know, eventually I can just ask it, give me everybody that answers yes to this question. And I have a list within seconds so I can think of a campaign that fast. So that is something that we have to do. That's building a system if my client does not have the tools to scale. Now on the productized business model for like agencies and consultants, coaches, things like that, that we work with, they don't have much of anything, right? Like they have a really good product. They may have a really good story. They made money because people are buying them. Right? Like they just like, oh, I love this guy. I just want to buy. If it's like Gary V, like, here's my money. Except Gary's like, what do I do with this? And they often need better, you know, front end lead generation systems or better nurturing, like we just mentioned, so that they can actually get $41 for emails or even get them some closers and appointment setters or whatever they need to actually convert. Once you fix the lead constraint, the sales constraint, if that makes sense. Fulfillment, they probably know how to do. They just don't have what it takes to lead because they are a coach or they have one thing down, which is their product.
Yeah.
And that's often the case. They have a really good product. And I have this real life, you know, personal relationship. They have an amazing product, but they have no idea how to go to market. Like they're so smart. They're like, they just cannot figure out how to get masses to kind of see their product or services. So I think marketing is the secret. And I love what you're doing with the influencer marketing. Like I said, it's huge.
Yeah, you know, but best kept secret is what a lot of people are, is what you're saying. They're the best kept secret. And then somebody that knows marketing that has a half-assed product or service is going to beat their ass every time because they're known. I mean, like.
Yes, the best known product is not the biggest, right? Or the best product is not the biggest. Yeah, exactly. It's best known product. Grant Cardone says that. And the reason I say that is, that's basically what happened to McDonald's, right? Like if you watch the movie, it was like they had this really amazing business, but like nobody knew about it. And then it took somebody to actually scale it. So I live and breathe this concept called scale. We have a sales process that we teach. It's called scale. Like everything that we do is how do we take it and like you said, systemize it, create a process around it so that salespeople are accountable for, the lead generation people are accountable for, everything using this 10 times framework, which is how do we make sure that if you put a dollar in, you're supposed to get $10 back. And it's really hard to do, especially when you don't have systems. The only way to do it is if you have super efficient systems that could work when you're sleeping. Again, it's a dream, but it is possible. I believe it.
Now, ClickX, is that a software?
It has got multiple arms. So it is a SaaS underneath it. So you can call it like a technology-enabled service company. We have a community and training, which I just told you about the support. Mm-hmm. And we have an entire team that does white label fulfillment. That is a word, if you're in the industry, kind of like private label. When you're an agency that does not do, say, short form content, they can grab somebody on our network and have them do the short form content. So an agency does not have to add all of these overhead, which again, to keep their business more lean, they can hire. And that is a free add-on. They can just go and get people to do anything they want. And just pay them for the thing that you do. These are vetted contractors that we had to use to get our job done. We make it available for anybody to come and access it for free.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. All right, got it. So now let me ask you this, podcasting. First of all, I had another question that just popped in, but we'll go with podcasting first. How long have you started, or how long ago did you start your podcast? How long have you had it?
Yeah, so I created a podcast. It's been probably easily 2 years. It was because I want to share a lot of information with the world. Like I think every impact driven entrepreneur, like you mentioned the book earlier with me. And the reason I did that is because I don't want to die. This is a true story. Like I don't want to die with all my, like you said, best kept secret sales process and this and that and the other that no one's ever heard. So I'm doing everything I can. And this is kind of why I'm on podcast once or twice a day, is to just give it all away.
You said once or twice a day?
I am literally going from podcast to podcast these days. So, and it is insane. And the reason we want to do that is, like I said, it's not about the awareness and the sales. And people ask me, like, what do you want to pitch? I'm like, nothing. I want to pitch nothing. Is that okay? And they're like, oh, wow, okay. I'm like, I'm here to add value to your audience to help you put more oil into the fire that you already built. right? And so that you can get more impact. And if you do that 10 times over, I'm reminded a quote from Zig Ziglar, if you give enough people what they want, you'll get what you want in life. Like, people oftentimes, they want things, but they're not willing to give others what they want. So he says, if you just help enough other people get what they want, that is the biggest question, is are you helping enough other people? So I can help a lot more people being on your podcast than go build my own massive movement. But that is a great question. It's been probably like 2 years.
Well, the reason I smiled, Solomon, is you're the only one that I've heard of probably ran into that does as much as I do. Like, I've done 936 now podcasts in the last 4 years. So I have my own show, but then I've been on others, like, just ridiculous because I believe in the power of it, man. It's been, you know, people don't talk about the credibility and authority you build by people seeing you being interviewed by multiple people. Right.
Yeah, that's true.
If you Google search your name or my name, I guarantee you there's pages and pages of podcasts we've been on, because our name will appear in the title and the topic that we talk about. Cause when we publish a podcast, it goes on to Google search ranks. And that, you know, like, that over like comes you not even having to have a good website yourself.
100%.
Because everybody else is talking about you. What's better than that?
There's nothing better than that. To be honest, and it's actually beneficial from an SEO perspective. So I'll throw that in there. If Mike puts a link to my website from his website, that is easy way to build authority in the eyes of Google, because there's links coming in.
Is that a backlink? Is that what a backlink is?
Is a backlink, which a lot of people don't understand, that I may have to have paid them $2,000 of sponsorship sometimes to get a link from a charity or something like that. And all you're doing is just giving knowledge, right? Like, being able to be interviewed. So I think more people need to do it. And I love that you have that business. And more entrepreneurs that do not have the time and energy to build their audience, but they have so much knowledge, should give it away. That's my thing. Like, go on other people's podcasts, add more value to what Mike's already doing. That's the secret. If you are an entrepreneur that's really busy, don't have the team, you don't have the tech team or the talent, whatever it is, you're going to make more impact and people might find you and might buy your services. Great. But the bigger thing is, you're not waiting for your podcast to grow to get your name out there.
And how about the repurposing of the content?
100%. Yeah, no, that's like cherry on top, right? You get to share that content. I have a media page where I've contributed to Forbes Inc. and, you know, Fast Company, Entrepreneur Magazine, and it goes pages and pages and pages. You get to make a page on your website called Podcast Appearances and just show people, like, hey, you're an expert in your space, so that your customers, your leads that you're selling to, can go watch and listen, right? Like, these are like no brainer stuff. I mean, to us.
But
a lot of people.
And the other thing is, like, a lot of people get hung up on how big the podcast they go on is. And for me, it's like, I'm not going to leave it to the host to get it out to people. Like, I'll take the leverage of his audience or her audience and all that. That's fine. But that's icing on the cake. To me, I want to take the raw content. Like, when I go on a show, and I'll provide it to you too here, Solomon, today. I want the raw content to the show, and I'll tell them, listen, my team's going to create some content, and then you can create your content. Now we'll have double the content. And I'm going to take the repurposed content and I'm going to stick it in front of the people that matter in my business. I'm going to take responsibility and I'm going to become omnipresent to the people that matter in my business with that content.
100%. So the way that I've actually created content, because we're all very busy going from meeting to meetings, the way that I've created any content for my TikTok, social medias, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Reels, Shorts, is me just talking like this. I'm on a phone. It's being recorded. I was doing Q&A with my team. I was doing something. I was not actually creating content. And people really find a hard time doing that. But they're also doing all the things that I'm doing. They're on calls. They're doing training. They're doing everything else. Why not record yourself and create that and chop it up and post it? Now, I could probably get way more engagement if I did sit there and create the content, but I don't have the time. But I have the passion to share what I'm doing. I'm like, I'm okay. I'm just going to share all of that. And so I'm constantly recording all the things that I'm doing so they can be chopped up.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm doing a sales call, I record it from a side. Like, this sounds really silly, because I'm sitting there giving the guy exactly what they should be doing with their business. Oh, with your email, are you doing this? With your this, are you doing that? Yep. And an entrepreneur. Go ahead.
They're all nuggets. Like you're recording all the nuggets and yeah, no, go ahead.
And it took me zero time to create content. That's what I'm saying. I literally spend no time creating content and our team has a hard time publishing everything I've created. I probably create 8 hours of content every day without creating 1 minute of content.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, because it's effective and efficient. So
extremely
books that you've written. Tell me about the books you've written. You've been involved with three. I know you're USA Today, Wall Street Journal bestselling author.
It's about the first books of Business Success Secrets. It's an anthology with other entrepreneurs. We all came together. We had one mission to, again, do this impact-driven thing. The second book, it's called Business Success Secrets. The second one's called Leaders Who Last. It's about leadership. And I felt like I needed to talk about that because not a lot of people actually stick around with a business over a decade. And again, I'm not a $100 million business still. Like, I'm not bragging about that. I'm bragging about the grit component, the thing that most people give up. Because like I said, the challenges get bigger as you grow your business. The third one was my kind of like during the pandemic, people lost jobs, were looking for a different way, a work from home model. And we're helping people start and scale agencies. I made a book, basically it's free on Amazon or 99 cents on Amazon to get to their first $10,000 a month. So if I can help them do 10 grand a month, that's equivalent of a six figure job. I'm like, let me do that. And I'll do that for a dollar. If they can't afford it, I don't know what else I can do. It's that kind of books that I'm talking about. And obviously I give them as much resources as possible in that book that they can do without paying me any more money. And obviously if they want help, we have tools and resources. But a lot of people are impacted just by reading that and saying, hey, you know what? I think I could start a business. Hey, I can start an extra 20K a month, whatever that is.
I love the service mentality, man. Waking up in the morning, helping people, man. That's just what I do. And I love the other people that do that. What's the name of the podcast, by the way, Solomon?
Solomon's Secrets. Our team made up the name because I got a lot of secrets.
Solomon's Secrets, guys. Go check that out. And Solomon, listen, I want to respect your time here. Running out of time. I could talk to you all day, man. But I want you guys to go check out Solomon. Where's the best place for them to find you?
There is my personal website. It's just timothy.com. As you said, it's Timothy. It's like it's got an H, T-H-I-M-O-T-H-Y.com.
Solomon. Awesome. Timothy.
If you just Google me, you'll find my website, I promise.
Go Google them, guys. Solomon Timothy in the building. Thank you so much for being here, brother. Hang tight while I wrap this up. Guys, just listen, keep coming back and watching the show. I got a great guest. Like, this is phenomenal. This information goes a long way. Some of you are sitting there wondering how to get your business to six figures. Others are wondering how to get to a million and beyond. There's ways to do it. The answers are out there. It's just you don't know something. We're going to continue to bring you this knowledge. It's your boy, C-Rock, in That One Studio on the What Are You Made Of show. Until next time, beat. That
music licensing reimagined.